Okay, the reading is Mark 5, 35 to 43, and it's on page 1007 of the Church Bibles. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to come and join together and look at God's word. And I know, do you mind if I pop this to you? I know the evening services, we've been looking at the theme of everyone's favourite Bible verses, and I'm sure everyone who's come and preached could have chosen a whole plethora of them to look at that they hold so dear. This evening, I just wanted to point our hearts and our minds in the direction of Mark 5:41 in particular, which we've just heard says this. He, Jesus, took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "little girl, I say to you, get up." And I'd like to just share with you a little bit why I find this verse so dear and comforting and an encouragement to trust and to love Jesus more. So my aim this evening is to try and show from this verse and some verses that link to it just how wonderfully kind and wonderfully strong Jesus is, and to dig in a little bit what that means for us and why it's good news. So let me pray for us as we look at these together. Heavenly Father, I pray that your spirit would be at work in our hearts and our minds this evening. Please make scripture clear to us. Please may we know more truly and more deeply and more fully the strength and the kindness of Jesus, so that our hearts might be warmed by knowing him better and our minds more at rest in his character in whatever we're facing at the moment. May we love him more and may our trust in him grow. Amen. Today, when people ask, or maybe are asked, who Jesus is, I'm sure you'd get a whole range of responses. And I think quite a few people might answer along these lines, that he was a good, intentioned man with some helpful moral teachings about trying to put others before yourselves. And those sorts of answers that you hear kind of lead people to having responses to Jesus of, well, if it makes you a better person, that's nice for you. But I find that if I listen to X or I follow Y, I become a better person. So, you know, pick and choose and it's all okay. Jesus is seen as no more valid or better or more impressive than any other options. And for many, he's certainly not viewed as someone with unparalleled power and authority. But as we pause and we read these verses tonight, and if you'd pause and read the first five chapters of Mark's Gospel, we're going to have a little look through a couple of those bits this evening, you will see that Jesus is more impressive, more astounding than people who just give it a quick glance realise. He's quite simply incomparable. I'm going to start there this evening, just pausing to consider the reality of his power and how that should leave us in speechless awe and wonder. So if I can just encourage you just to pause and give your hearts the brain space, as it were, to pause as we think about that this evening. I'm not sure what sort of power impresses you or what strength impresses you. I think I'm quite easily impressed. The other day I was watching a YouTube video, maybe gives away too much of what I watch on YouTube. It was a strong man bending frying pans in half, and I was legitimately impressed by that, and it was as easy as I was going to fold paper, and I thought, oh man, that's incredible. Maybe you're impressed by that sort of power, or rather, sadly, more seriously, perhaps it's the might of a tank or a missile that can destroy buildings or roads, towns and cities. Tragically, these things can kill thousands of people. And haven't we seen that the most powerful people on Earth have flexed their authority and power with a threat of nuclear attack, which could cause more destruction than we might wish to imagine? Is this what we think of as true power? Well, in these first five chapters of Mark, Jesus's authority, his power, his strength are displayed over all the realms of human physical existence, spiritual existence, and everything in the earth. So let's pause for a moment and soak it in, be impressed, just as if we'd seen these acts of power for ourselves. In Mark 2, Jesus shows absolute power over the human body. With just his words, he's able to make a paralyzed man walk. Not some trick, not some honest good use of medicine or science, but just with the authority of his words. Just imagine seeing that up close, how in awe you'd be of someone who spoke and a paralyzed man walked. In Mark 4, we see absolute power and authority over nature. Jesus calms the storm. Isn't that a nice little phrase to roll off the tongue? But imagine the reality of that. When I'm in the sea, I'm fully aware of just how small and powerless I am. The waves are much mightier, much stronger than I am. And I would be helpless to their wishes if they chose to drag me out to sea. Storms have killed hundreds during human history. Tsunamis have wrecked destruction and destroyed whole towns and cities. And this storm here in Mark 4 is described as furious, so much so that experienced sailors are panic-stricken and scared. But with the authority of his words, he just speaks. Jesus calms what whole cities have been powerless to stop. Imagine seeing that up close. His words and a storm stops. How in awe we would be. In Mark 5, we see Jesus have absolute authority over demonic forces. With just his words, he drives out a demon from a man that has been so tormented and overcome and disturbed by these very real, powerful spirits that he's become impossible to bind or subdue. We speak too lightly of demonic forces in the West, and we should be corrected by the Bible's understanding of such forces. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There truly are spiritual forces that carry authority and are more evil than we would wish to understand. But in Mark 5, we see a demon who has ruined the life of this man, absolutely powerless to the authority of Jesus. When Jesus speaks, this demon must obey. And then we land in our passage from this evening, also in Mark 5. We see Jesus with absolute authority over the power of life and death. I'm in absolute awe of doctors and nurses And anyone in the healthcare professional, it absolutely blows my mind, their skill and their dedication. It should be applauded at every moment. And their skill and dedication shown, we might say, it's almost like they're using their power and knowledge. And that is the difference for many between life and death. But that respect, that all that I have, must pale in comparison, as we see Jesus in our passage this evening, not just keep someone alive or perform a marvellous surgery, but bring back from death itself this young girl who had died earlier in the day. She had been a lifeless corpse in that room. Death had won. But Jesus, with the authority, with the power of his words, speaks life. Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. Jesus' words are so powerful, his authority so assured, that to him it's just as though this little girl is asleep and not dead, and all he's doing is waking her from a deep slumber. And in case we think Jesus got lucky in our passage this evening, as we saw earlier from John 11 with the raising of Lazarus, a man who'd been dead for several days, by the authority of his words, Jesus brings him back to life. Just pause and consider all those things we've just gone through. The weight of what is being reported. Can you just imagine the awe that you would be in seeing all these firsthand? And think about this evening's passage. This girl was dead and lifeless, but now she is alive. And if you don't mind me indulging on this just a little bit longer, this very Jesus that we've seen have this authority and power over all these spheres of the world and our lives is the same Jesus that we saw in Daniel when we studied it early this term. Let's remind ourselves, Daniel 7, 13 to 14 says this. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, referring to Jesus coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations, all peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is everlasting, and it will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. If we can soak that in. Jesus has authority, not over one nation, which would be impressive enough, but every nation. No country is outside of his reach. His sovereignty or his power. And his power is not limited by time. He has this level of power forever. And his power is not limited by an aging body or a failing mind. Jesus is supremely powerful. He was when he spoke life into that young girl in Mark 5. And he is today. He is the same Jesus. From all these things we've seen in Scripture, Jesus is that powerful, that strong, when you are praying for a loved one to be healed. Jesus is that powerful and that strong when you're beside a dying friend. Jesus is that powerful and strong when you mourn and weep someone that you've lost. He's that powerful and strong when you're praying for a relationship to be healed. Jesus is that powerful. He is that strong in every moment that you are feeling weak or broken or lost or afraid or lonely. He is the same Jesus. When you pray to Jesus, you are praying to someone with power over nature, power over demons, power over life and death, power over all people for all of time. I love reading Mark 5:41 because it reminds me of just how powerful and strong Jesus is. It's become one of my favourite verses since the birth of our daughter Jessica. You'll know that one of her middle names is Talitha. I am so thankful that Jesus is this powerful and this powerful for Jessica. I will, of course, do my best as a dad, but I am weak, I am frail, I will die. But Jessica will always have Jesus, the mighty, powerful one to depend on in prayer. And that gives my heart every reason to praise him. Talitha Kum is one of my favourite verses because it reminds me how strong Jesus is. Talitha Kum is also one of my favourite verses because it holds alongside this unparalleled power, just the most glorious compassion. We see here that Jesus is strong, but he's just so kind. Let's read that verse again, verse 41. He, Jesus, took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. I love that he takes her by the hand, an act of tender care, and says, little girl, get up. Can't you just feel his heart in that sentence? His heart of love towards someone in need, his personal care and gentleness. When I picture this scene, I picture Aslan, if you're familiar with the Narnia series of books by C.S. Lewis. You'll know that the Jesus figure in these stories is the mighty lion Aslan. But when Aslan speaks to the four children in the story, there is an absolute authority in his voice. But alongside that booming authority is this glorious warmth and affection. He loves them. Not a tokenistic sort of Hollywood fleeting love, but a deep and a real lasting love, which means he is compassionate towards them. We see this of Jesus all the time in Scripture. The Jesus we meet in the Gospels is just so kind. In Mark 19, we see Jesus even rebuke his disciples for keeping the children away from him. He loves those young people. He values them. He wants to care for them and invite them into his kingdom. In John 4, we see Jesus break religious and cultural boundaries to offer the Samaritan woman, who is broken and bruised from failed marriages, the gift of true life, and offer to be never spiritually thirsty again. John 11 that we've seen already, when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. This is a story full of Jesus's kindness. Do read it in your own time. We are told Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, and that when he saw the sisters mourning, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, so much so that he wept. The King of the universe, the one who sustains the heavens and the earth, the one whose power over life and death, that same Jesus sees the pain of those mourning and weeps. And as if that wasn't all evidence enough of just how kind Jesus is, John 19, as he's being crucified, in his hour of greatest pain and greatest need, his physical anguish is more than I can understand. It must have been indescribable. His heart must have been carrying more burden than I can comprehend. Jesus, in his compassion and love, considers the needs of his mother Mary and asks from the cross itself his disciple John to look after her. Isn't that astounding kindness? Isn't that just mind-blowing. And of course, I could continue with story after story of such kind heart and spirit. The gospel shows a Jesus who is not remote or distant from people, not one who is unfeeling or removed from human emotion, but rather a Jesus who loves to care for those in need, is affected and moved by their pain and grief. Can't you feel all those sense of kindness in those beautiful words to Letha Coombe? Little girl, get up. Little girl whom I love, whom I welcome into my kingdom, come to me. I invite you to come and know life to the full. Little girl who I will hold your hand and know personally. That mighty figure of Daniel 7, whose kingdom will know no end, to whom every nation will bow, takes this young girl by the hand and with all authority and tenderness says, little girl, get up. Jesus is that kind when you are praying for a loved one to be healed. Jesus is that kind when by the bedside of a dying friend, and when you mourn and weep the loss of someone that you love. He is that kind when you're praying for a broken relationship to be healed. He's that kind in every moment you are feeling weak and broken, lost and helpless. I love Mark 5:41 because it reminds me just how kind Jesus is and how I can hold that alongside his power and his might, that he is also tender and compassionate. I love that Jessica can cry out to a Jesus who's also kind. There'll be days when I'm not as caring or as loving as I should be towards her, and I will no doubt let her down in this way. But I love that she has Jesus who will never fail her. He is supremely caring. He's not only unparalleled in his power, but unparalleled in his kindness. I've spent the sermon so far just pointing us towards verses to show us this power and kindness, with the aim that I hope it's been an encouragement for you and something to pause on in times of mourning and sadness, that Scripture really shows us this Jesus of power and kindness. However, it would also be insincere of me not to address the very real situations that people find themselves in, that you may have been in or may be experiencing at the moment, which are more painful than you feel that you can bear, and you feel prayers have not been answered. I'm not going to try and give any glib answers this evening. I don't want to minimise any situation that anyone is feeling at the moment or find themselves in. And if you would value praying with anyone after the service about anything you're going through, there are many people in the room that would love to pray with you. But part of the answer in these times of facing unknowns and unresolved pain and burdens also lies in Mark 5:41. Jesus raising this little girl from the dead points to his own resurrection. Jesus' resurrection changes not just the here and now, but changes eternities. Scripture tells us that it's proof. Jesus' resurrection is proof that death does not have the final victory. It is proof that our hope of heaven is not in vain. It's proof that you and I, those in Christ, those that follow him and have been forgiven by him, we will also be resurrected as well. We will have resurrection bodies that won't tire or fail. It's proof that whatever life holds for us now, for those in Christ, we are gifted an eternity of no more tears and crying. As we close, I just wanted to point us to the prayer of a dying man whose life was changed because he came to know just how strong and kind Jesus is. Nabil Kiryash was a practicing Muslim, but as he dug into the Christian faith, Jesus' life and death and resurrection, he found that Jesus was everything he claimed to be. And you can read his book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He discovered that Jesus was not remote or distant or uncaring or unloving, but rather so loving that he laid down his life, and so powerful that he defeated death in his resurrection. You may know the very sad story that in 2016, Nabil was diagnosed with cancer, which despite prayer and treatment got worse. He continued to tell others about Jesus's life-changing news. And in 2017, he filmed himself praying this prayer from hospital. It's astounding. God is able. God is more than able. And I'm going to rest in that as best I can. Lord, we know you are able. Please heal. Please come through. But if it's not your sovereign will, at the end of the day, I trust you and I love you anyway. I praise you, Lord, anyway, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Very sadly, Nabil died soon after, aged just 34. I have absolutely no idea why those prayers were not answered. The Bible doesn't promise that God will always heal us now or take us out of difficult situations. But what I do know is that Jesus, with his power and his kindness, because he's risen from the dead, Nabil was able to say, I trust you, I love you, I praise you. What a wonderful thing is, I trust you, I love you, I praise you, because he had the hope of heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing that Mark 5:41 also points us to? So whatever you might be going through at the moment, I hope this short time of pausing on Jesus's power and strength has been a tonic for your heart. Maybe today Jesus is saying a word of encouragement that you need to hear. Maybe he's saying to you, I am strong and kind. Do not be afraid. Maybe he's saying to you this evening, I am strong and kind. You must remember, I really do love you. Maybe he's saying to you, I am strong and I am kind. That means you do not need to fear death. It will not ultimately win. Maybe he's saying to you, I'm strong and kind. Just remember, I am all that you need. I love Mark 5:41 because it reminds me of all these things, and it just lifts my heart that Jessica can come to know these things about her wonderful Saviour. So as we close, let me pray. Jesus, we don't always understand why some prayers are answered and some are not. Why some people are healed and some are not. Why some pains are resolved and some never seem to cease. But thank you that in it all, it is really true that Jesus is more powerful than we can grasp and more kind than we can comprehend. Please astound each one of us by Jesus. Astound us, help us be in awe of him. Help us be transfixed by him. Please help us cry out to this Jesus. Please encourage us. Please increase our love and trust in him. Please encourage us with the unshakable hope of heaven that all in Christ have because of the power and kindness of Jesus. He rose from the dead and by his grace has invited sinners to enjoy an eternity with him. Help us rest in that. In Jesus' name, amen.